Okay, a few years ago, my brother was marrying off his eldest child. And the day of the wedding, all of our family came together. We flew in from Israel. My sister came in from Chicago. Who else is there? My brother was in from New York with his eight kids. And we were all by my sister's house in New York. The day of the wedding, went to Shacharis. And you can imagine the chaos that was surrounding the day of the wedding. All these people around, name cards for the tables, not done. And my brother sits down at the dining room table, and he does Daf Yomi. And I was sitting there watching. I said, only my brother can be able to concentrate and focus on everything that's going on here. And the question that came to mind was, why is he doing this now? The day, this is a pretty busy day. Why doesn't he just delay and do it tomorrow? Or do it after the Sheva Brachas? He'll catch up, right? Daf Yomi, you have a daily responsibility to do a page of the Gemara each day. But this is a pretty busy day. Just delay it, do it tomorrow, wake up early tomorrow, as opposed to today. And what we're going to talk about today, in this year, is why my brother was right in what he did. We're going to start with the Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. It's actually a famous Gemara that discusses when we go up to heaven on May of Asherim until 120, we're asked certain questions. We are investigated, and the Malach, the angel up there, looks through our lives and says, what did you accomplish? And we're asked a number of questions. When we go up to be judged at 120, these are the six questions we're asked. Number one, who knows? Business. How much money did you make? Were you honest? Nasasa v'natata v'emuna. Were you honest in your business dealings? That's number one. In fact, there are two different explanations on this. Number one is, were you honest in your business dealings, or did you work at having an emuna and a Kadosh Baruch Hu? So there are two explanations as to that brought in the postgame. Number two, not were you honest in your business dealings, but number two was? Kavata Itim Latara. Did you have
fixed times
to learn? Once a year? Once a month? Every day? Every single day. Kavata Itim Latara. Did you have set Kavua Itim times to learn? Kavata Itim Latara. Number two. Number three. Asakta Bepiria Beribya. We're involved in having children. Did you try? Get married? Try to have kids? Not everyone is Zocha, but. Was that something that was important to you that you actually tried to? Number four, Tzipita Yeshua. Did you look forward to the time that Mashiach would come? Did you look forward to better times for Klal Yisrael? Or were you simply so comfortable in your life, driving that fancy car and having that big house, that you didn't look forward to the better times for Klal Yisrael? So that is question number four, Tzipita Yeshua. And number five and number six also go into aspects of the learning. Was your learning in depth? Was it quality, etc.? So those are the six questions. And the Gemara concludes, even if you were successful in all six, you answered, I was honest in business dealings, I had set times to learn, I was had kids, etc., etc. But if you were not a Yirei Shamayim, if you didn't fear God, then it is all for naught. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says. Now Rashi on that Gemara defines for us, Kavata itim l'Torah. Did you have set times to learn? So Rashi says his lashon, his language is very instructive. Nefisha adam tzarech li'isasek b'derech eretz. It is incumbent upon us to be involved in derech eretz. What's derech eretz? Business. We need, not necessarily business, a job. We need to earn a parnasa. Why? Why do we have to earn a parnasa? We have to earn a livelihood. She main derech eretz ain't Torah. Because if you're not going to be able to pay the bills, how are you going to be able to learn? You're not going to be able to focus on your learning. You need an income stream. So the Torah says, Chazal told us we need to carve out of our day set times to learn. If we did not carve out set times to learn, what's the risk? What would happen to us? We would be? We would not do it. What would we be doing? We would be working all of the time. The Torah is coming to tell us that work is important. We need to earn a parnasa. However, there is a limit, and we need to set the limits for ourselves, and one major limit that we are talking about today is having set times to learn. Obviously, this is a critical issue when it comes to the workplace, and juggling busy schedules when it comes to working and learning and davening and wives and kids. Unfortunately, when people try to start to trim their schedules, you can't trim the job. Usually, you got to earn the parnasa. You can't trim other things. So what goes by the wayside, if it's not something that we put as a priority, is first learning and then the davening with the minyan. So that's what we're talking about today. We're going to talk about the importance of being koveitim Torah. Next time, we will have a follow-up topic as to how do we maintain that importance in learning 5, 10, 20 years down the road. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch paskes as follows. The yikba ace lilmud, you have to set a time to learn. Vitzorech sha'oso ace yekavua, that time has to be permanent. Shaloya avirenu af im husavru laviach arbe. And you cannot be flexible on the time to learn, even if you think you will earn more money by changing that time. It has to be fixed. Even if an important meeting comes up, you can get a big deal. That time is set, and that is the time we need to stick with. To go back to my brother is Koveya Itim Latari, learns every day the Daf Yomi. It's important to participate in the events of the wedding, and he did, but in his priorities, that is not a flexible time. That was not considered an emergency. He says, first let me get my learning done, and then thereafter, the rest of everything else will fall into place. So the Mishnah Brura tells us this concept of Kovei Itim Latorah is not the same as Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is learning in general. When do you have to learn?
All the time
that you're not doing something important. Right? All the time that you're not doing something important, we have an obligation to learn. Vagisa bo yomam v'layla, be involved in your learning day and night. But if I'm at work, I don't have to be learning. If I'm with my wife, I'm doing important things, having conversations, dealing with my kids, helping them with homework, playing basketball with my son, whatever it is. I shouldn't do such things. I was just reading an article by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein talking about the importance of playing ball with your children. So maybe we'll get to that in a later date. Hopefully I will take his advice on that also. So the Mishnah Berurah says learning is all the time unless you're doing something important. But Koveya Itim is a related topic but not identical. Koveya Itim means in our schedule, our busy schedules, we need to carve out times that are not, we are not flexible about, and we need to stick with them. There's somebody that passed away a few years ago. His name is Shloimi Gross. There's an art scroll biography about him. I think I've mentioned it in the past, called Shloimi. I highly recommend reading it. Typically, the biographies that we read are about the Gedolim and this rabbi and that rabbi. Shloimi was a businessman. And he was a successful businessman, a tremendous Baal Chesed. And there was, in addition, I've read the book, I'm looking forward to reading it again. There was an article published in Yated Ne'eman, Reflections upon the Shloshim of Reb Shlomo Gross. A very nice write-up about Shlomo Gross. And in there, it talks about his being Koveya Itim Latorah. This is a very busy businessman who would take a nap. When he would take a nap, not on Shabbos, he would sleep with his cell phone on him. In case somebody needed something, somebody needed tzedakah, he would get up and help them right then. He didn't shut his cell phone off because in case somebody needed a chesed. So here it talks about if there was one person who defined someone who lacked zitzfleisch. Who knows what zitzfleisch is? Koach to sit and learn. He was doing this and doing that and running and involved in this deal and doing this tzedakah. It says, if there was anyone who didn't have any zitzfleisch, it would have been Shlomi. He was always in perpetual motion. So how you kovei itim latar if you can't sit? If you're always doing this and doing that. So it says, when it came to being kovei itim, Avram Shor spoke about the sheer gvura, the strength that Shlomi had in being able to spend 1.5 hours learning every morning with the same chavrusha for over 25 years, despite his gregarious personality. Gregarious personality means he could not sit. 1.5 hours for 25 years. How many of us would have such a track record? This was further enhanced by the fact that no matter how late he went to bed, he was there like clockwork the next day at 6 a.m. Next day at 6 a.m. I read somewhere else that that when he was traveling, he would call in to his chavrusa. He would call in, no matter what, he's in Israel, call in, have the chavrusa 1.5 hours. So the Piskei Tshuva says something beautiful for us. He says that there's a korban tamid. How many tamidim were there each day?
Two.
Two. When?
The morning.
Morning, afternoon. What does tamid mean?
Constant.
Always. Constant. Constant. Always. Was the tamid constant and always?
No.
It wasn't always brought every second of the day. It was brought at specific times in the morning and the afternoon. So why is it called the korban tamid?
Every day.
Because it was consistent. And the Piskei Tshuva says beautifully, if we are consistent about something, it is as if we are constantly doing it. And he says the same thing applies to learning Torah. It doesn't mean that we are, when we're in the workplace, we're going to be working, we're going to be learning 24 hours a day, or 10 hours a day, or 12 hours a day, but if we are koveya itim la Torah, if we have set times to learn consistently each and every day, it is as if we are learning tamid all of the time constantly. So that is something very important to keep in mind. We paskin in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Talmud Torah, Yeridea Siman Resh Mem Vav, as follows: Kol Ish Yisrael Chayiv B'Talmud Torah. Each and every Jew is obligated to learn. Bein Oni Bein Asher, it applies whether the person is wealthy or poor. Bein Shalom Begufo Bein Bal Yisurim, whether the person is healthy or not healthy. I'm going to get back to this point in a little bit. Bein Bachur Bein Zaken Gadol, whether the person is young or extremely elderly, there is an obligation to learn. Afilu Oni Amechazal Apsachim, even if the person is so destitute, he's knocking on the doors, he still has to learn. Afilu Baal Isho Banim, even if you have a wife and 18 children, there is still an obligation to learn. What's the message there? Is even though kids take up a lot of time, you still have to carve out times to learn. Chayav likboil ozman letalmud Torah b'yom v'laylu. We have an obligation to learn day and night, as the pasuk says in Yeshua, v'gisa b'yomam v'layla. So back to that point, somebody who's healthy or not healthy. I remember looking in Rechavia a few years ago, a man passed away, Baal Tshuva. He was probably in his mid to late 60s. He had finished Shas four times, and he had written a number of Sfarim. He was in terrible health. He was a hunchback, literally walked the streets like that, and he was constantly learning. It was an amazing thing to see. There was somebody who learned here in Yeshiva, David Romanovsky, who unfortunately had brain cancer. For 6 years, he was sick with brain cancer, but he kept up his kviyus. This is a picture of David. Learned here in the yeshiva. He kept up his kviyus. You can pass it around. That's when he was already towards the end of his life. He kept up learning Mishnayos. He'd step before he got sick to learn Mishnayos every day, one, two Mishnayos a day. He kept it up through all of the procedures and radiation and chemo and all the stuff that he went through. And there was a siyum on Shas. Somebody with a brain tumor made a siyum on Shas close to when he passed away. It was a tremendous simcha. So even somebody who's not well has an obligation to be koveya itim l'Torah. Now, we've said just now that there's a Gemon Shabbos that says that the second thing we're judged on is kavati itim l'Torah. Did you have set times to learn? But there's a Gemon Sanhedrin that says otherwise. It says that's the first thing that you're judged on. So is it the first thing or is it the second thing? Which is it? It's important for us to know. The Gemon Sanhedrin Zayin Amon Aleph says, En tchilas dino shel adam nidon ela divrei Torah. We are judged first on divrei Torah and afterwards on other things. So Tosfos asked this question. He says, it seems to be a stira. There seems to be a contradiction between these Gemaras. The Gemara in Shabbos says the second thing you judge on is Torah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says the first thing you judge on is Torah. So Tosfos brings two answers. One of the answers that he brings is as follows. He says, if you are never learning, then that's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin is talking about, that you will be judged first on learning of Torah. But if you learn, but you simply don't have set times to learn, you're not koveya itim la Torah, then the first thing that you're going to be judged on is business, and the second thing that you're going to be judged on is learning. Okay, that's one explanation by Tosfos. There are a number of explanations. Just want to give one over the other by Rav Levi Yitzchak Mebarditchev. The Kedushas Levi says that, in fact, these questions, were you honest, ethical in your business dealings, halachic in your business dealings, and did you learn Torah, are in fact the same question. How is that possible? It's the same question. Because somebody who is involved in business doesn't mean doing deals and selling things, but a doctor or an attorney or whatever area, a teacher, it doesn't matter what it is involved in earning a parnasa, they are constantly encountering challenges that they have to think, what's the right thing to do al pi Torah? al pi alacha. For example, somebody is walking in the shuk, the Kedushas Levi says. You're walking along. You're in the office, and there's a lady who's scantily clad. Do you look or do you look away? And you think, what's the halacha on this? Oh, I remember, there's a pasuk, there's a Rambam, there's a Shulchan Aruch on this. I have to look away. I can't look at her because she's not wearing any clothing. That's learning. That's being ethical. That's being proper in the workplace, but that's also learning Torah at the same time. If you're thinking, oh, I got to bill somebody something, and I can fudge it a little bit. Or I have to weigh something, and I can make it a little way. I said, no, there's a pasuk in the Torah that says you're not allowed to do that. Not only is that being ethical in business, but that is also learning at the same time. And he brings another number of these examples. Somebody can be deceitful in business, and he's not. All of those examples are something, somebody that is learning and being ethical at business at the same time. Just to conclude this point, the Shulchan Aruch paskens in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Tchilas Dino Shel Adam al Talmud Torah. The first thing that we are judged on, despite the Gemara and Shabbos, is our learning. V'achar kach al shar masav, and on everything else is after our learning. Obviously, something that we need to make sure we have a response to when we're asked that question. Davening, I used to daven in a shul at the Neitz Minyan called Kal Chassidim. In Kal Chassidim, there were two men that used to meet every morning before the Neitz Minyan. Neitz Minyan right now is later. Sunrise is around 6:40, so you start at 6:10 or something like that. It gets as early as 5:40 as the sunrise, so you start at like 5:20, 5:15. So they would learn an hour and a half before that. Mm-hmm. One of them is a Rebbe at a yeshiva that has their yeshiva, and one is a retired engineer. And I was speaking with them, with one of them, the engineer, and he told me, we've been learning since we got married. Over 40 years. Over 40 years, daily learning. That is Kovei Itin Latar. Originally, they were both living in Mavaseret Zion, and then one moved away. But still, nonetheless, and one, the other moved, and they moved. No matter what, they always found a midpoint between the two of them to meet early in the morning and to learn. It was at Yeshivat HaKotel, and now it's a different place, and now it's in Kal Chassidim and Shari Chesed. For 40 plus years, they have been Kovei Itin Latorah daily, an hour and a half, learning Bavli, learning Yerushalmi, etc. They are a good example of what we should all strive for. Okay, we're going to get a little bit now into the mechanics of how Kovei Itin Latorah works. Where should we learn? When should we learn? What should we learn? How much should we learn? Etc., etc., etc. Okay, so we're going to start as follows. Where to learn? We're going to start. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perikei Mishnah Yudalit, that talks about Arba Midos B'Hochei LeBeis HaMedrash. There are four different characteristics, types of people that go or don't go to the Beis Medrash. So it goes through somebody who goes to the Beis Medrash and he learns also has two pluses in his favor. Someone who neither goes to the Beis Medrash and doesn't learn has two negatives in his favor, or against his favor, right? Or somebody who goes and isn't able to learn, the Mishnah tells us that he still gets credit for what? Going. Just going, says the Mishnah Berurah, is a great thing. Sitting in the Beis Medrash, try to hear a shir, but you don't really understand it. But just going to the Beis Medrash and learning there is a tremendous issue. It's a tremendous mitzvah to do that. And the last person is somebody who learns but doesn't go to the Beis Medrash. He gets the benefit of learning but doesn't get the benefit of having not gone to, he hasn't gone to the Beis Medrash. So the Mishnah Berurah makes an interesting point. He says, you know, we have this concept of going to the Beis Medrash even if you don't know how to learn. But nowadays, says the Mishnah Berurah, 100 years ago, there is no excuse to not learn because there are Sfarim in every single language. He says there is in Yiddish and German. There are Sfarim for everyone to understand. If the Mishnah Berurah is saying that 100 years ago, if you go on to ArtScroll or Feldheim's websites or any of these others that have these Sfarim, there is a Sefer for everyone. And nowadays, even if you can't read, there are plenty of audios and videos, literally millions. Kol Lashon is a website that has over 1 million audios on it. Most are in Hebrew, but YU's website has over 100,000, and they're probably all English. So there's no excuse nowadays. When it comes to the location of where to learn, we just mentioned the importance of being in a Beis Medrash. We paskin in the Raman, Shulchan Aruch, or Achaim, Siman Kufna, Nunhei. Yikba lo makom v'yilmod. This concept of having a makom kavua is most prominently known for what? For davening. But the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama says it also applies for learning. Learning also have a makam kavua. It doesn't mean that if somebody's sitting in your seat, you give him the boot, let him sit there. But nonetheless, we should get there before him. That's why no one's going to be sitting in our seat. Mr. Burr brings two reasons, two concepts here. Concept number one is we should have a set place in a given base medrash, and also that's my base medrash that I learn in. And number two is within that base medrash, we should have a set place in which we learn. Okay, to get into the timing of when is best to learn during the day, what are your guys' opinions?
Morning, first thing.
Show me your hands. Nighttime. Show me your hands. More. Are anyone who raised their hand for morning? Are you morning people, or
no,
are you just
no.
You're not?
No,
not at all.
Yeah. But you still think it's more important in the morning?
Yeah.
Why?
It's easier. There's less distractions.
There are fewer distractions. Once your day gets in going, it's tough to get back to learning, right? Yeah, Simon.
It's good. It's like even if it's before chakras or after, it's like you're doing the mitzvah and you're doing another one straight after.
Very nice. Okay, so going from the mitzvah to mitzvah, so we have a nice mitzvah concept. We have a practical concept that once the day gets going, it's going to be very difficult to get into your learning. The Gemara in Brachas Samach Dalet says as follows: Amar Rebbe Levi Bar Chiya, someone who leaves from Shul Shachris in the morning should go into the base medrash and learn right then. Go from your davening to your learning. Somebody who does that, the Gemara says, Zocha u'mekabo pnei Shechina, will be Zocha to see HaKadosh Baruch, when it brings a pasuk in Tehillim, Yelchu Mechayel Achayel Yireh El Elokim B'Tzion. Somebody goes from mitzvah to mitzvah, as Simon was saying, that person will be worthy to see the Shechina. So we go from mitzvah to mitzvah. Now, I don't think it has to be in that order, that it has to be from Shacharis to learning. It can be also, our schedules oftentimes will dictate learning earlier before Shacharis, having to get that in, and then Shacharis, and then afterward head off to work or help with the kids and then head off to work or the base medrash, whatever it may be. But the concept here is Yelchu Mechayel Achayel, do the mitzvahs back to back. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Achar Shiyei to the base and Knesset, Yelech LaBeis HaMedrash. This is brought LaHalacha. Go to Shacharis, then go learn. Vik Ba'eis Lilma, that should be your time to learn set. Now when it comes to the consistency in the time, sticking with the time itself, this is very interesting. Kaf HaChaim brings an opinion that says that the Kovei Itin LaTorah does not mean that each day I discuss with my Chavrusa when it's going to work best for you that we're going to get together and learn. Tomorrow, can you make it at 11? Okay, 11. Okay, how about Wednesday? Okay, Wednesday, 2:30, fine. That's not the concept, because there we are working our learning around our schedule. What we should be doing is working our schedule around our set times to learn. And that's what he says. The Kaf HaChaim says, "V'lo yachli payom b'sha'achas u'lemachar b'sha'acher." It's not the concept of today one time and tomorrow the next time. A parallel would be, there's a shul in New York, and there are probably many shuls. They have four daf yomis. And I've heard people say, "Oh, tomorrow I'm going to go to this daf because I'm busy otherwise." Meaning every day you see, okay, they're on the same daf. That's the concept of daf yomi. They're all on the same page of the Gemara. So I can choose when it's most convenient for me. If that is the person's kvius, if that's the time that they're having set times to learn, it should be at a set time. The person should always go to the same shir, same time. Not, okay, today this works for me, tomorrow that doesn't work for me. Yeah?
So is that to say that if somebody goes 29 out of 30 days in a month or 3 days out of the year, and then you go.
It's a fantastic question. We'll see what happens when your wife goes into labor right when you're supposed to be being koveya eating the Torah. Right? Okay, so we'll get to that. You tell her to hang on, it's just an hour and a half. Okay. That's not a good idea. Okay, so that's when it comes to the consistency of the time. When it comes to the quality of time, this is very important. The Piskei Tshuva brings in the name of the Or Tzadikim. When it comes to the quality of time, that you should pretend that you are not in this world. Meaning there are issues that we have to deal with in this world, and there are things that we are worried about, and we got the emails coming in, and the cell phone calling. Pretend that you're not in this world. Pretend you're in Gan Eden in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And if that's the case, you won't be checking the email so constantly, because you're in the midst of your learning. It brings a story here of Rav Ephraim Margolius, he was a real gadol, wrote some very famous sforim, but he, fundamentally he was a very busy and successful businessman. But he used to carve out a number of hours each day that he would be learning. And when he was learning, despite he was had a business empire, he would tell his family, pretend I am not in this world. And he said, pretend I'm dead. As if I am dead, you have nobody to speak with. When I am learning, it is the same thing. And he quoted a ma'amar of Chazal that says that somebody can only acquire Torah if he's meimis atzmo aleh, if you kill yourself over it. Meaning if you really work hard at it, you apply yourself, then you can acquire Torah. He applied that to saying, I am being meimis myself. I am killing myself right now learning. I'm really applying myself learning. I do not want to be disturbed. That is a major challenge in this generation of getting quality learning. I see there's some of the smartphones around and texting and WhatsApping and this and that. And somebody just this morning was telling me with all the emails he gets all day long, it could be, he looks away for a couple hours, 40 more emails, 50 more emails come in, he can't keep up with it. And it's distracting him constantly from getting work done. It's this real challenge that we have in society nowadays. And we do have to deal with that. But at least when we're learning, we should be putting the cell phones away. We should be putting the smartphones away and be focusing on our learning. Okay, when it comes to getting back to the concept of learning in the mornings, the Torah says as follows. V'achar sheyeitzei the meis ha'kneses yelech lebeis ha'medrash. After we go and we have daven, we should go and learn why. Kodem sheyelech la'asaka, before we go to work. He spells it out very specifically. And the Mishnah Berurah brings two reasons, brings both of the reasons that were mentioned here. Number one, because the Gemara tells us you should go from mitzvah to mitzvah. And number two, v'gam dim yelech mikodem la'asaka. The Mishnah Berurah writing 100 years ago, if you would go to your work first, the concern is, chayshinan shema yimashach, you will get drawn into work. And you will never get back to your learning. If that applied back then, it certainly applies nowadays. Okay, so we've gone through so far, the ideal time to learn is in the morning. It doesn't mean that you cannot learn at night. You should learn it also at night. L'maisa, we paskin that koveya itim l'torah, how many times do you have to be koveya a day? We talked about morning. Itim means what? The Gemara says, kavata itim l'torah is plural. The Marsha points this out, it is koveya, not kavata eit l'torah. Did you have a set time to learn? But did you have set times to learn, meaning daily it has to be two times, one in the morning and one in the evening. So that's how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch again. Chayav likvo lozman l'talmud Torah b'yom u'v'layla, it has to be both in the day and the nighttime. It says, the Pasuk says, v'agisa bo yomam v'layla. When I was starting to work, I think I mentioned this before about my schedule. So my schedule, daily schedule, 6 a.m. I had daf yomi chavrusa till 7 o'clock. We used to meet at a shul. And 7 o'clock was davening and then headed off to work. When I got home, it was typically fairly late. Baruch Hashem only one all-nighter, but that's rare. People would be there all night at the law firm, at the businesses. That was the rat race of New York. Who here is from New York? Not too many people. Okay, we can talk about them then. So that was daily life there. So you get back, get a marav, mincha at work, get a marav, 10 o'clock at night, and I was able to learn one, maybe two halachas before fainting into bed. That's fine. That's kavata itim l'torah, is both in the morning and the nighttime. And we'll talk about in a little bit how much time, but that was my fulfillment given my schedule of kavata itim l'torah. There's a Gemara in Brachos that talks about the zman for Kriyat Shema at night. That the Kriyat Shema can be said all night long, the night Kriyat Shema. But what did Chazal say? We're concerned. Up until Chassos. They say, you know what? What's our concern?
Postponing it and then forgetting.
If people, they have all night long, what are they going to do? They're going to say, you know, I'm a little tired right now, and I want to just take a nap. And I'll get to Kriya Shema because I can do it all night. I'll wake up in a couple hours and I'll daven Marav Shad Kriya Shema. And the next thing they know, it's 8 a.m. They didn't set the alarm clock. Usually they wake up at 6. They didn't even set the alarm clock because they were going to wake up shortly. And they missed the Kriya Shema. Chazal said, we're going to bring the time earlier. Not all night, but up until the middle of the night. Chatzos HaLaila to say the Kriya Shema. And in that Gemara, it says, what's the proper schedule to ensure that somebody doesn't take that nap and blow it, and not daven marav and say the Kriyat Shema. Adam b'min asad haberev. You come back from the field at night, So we're not coming from the field, we're coming from the office or whatever it may be. Nichnas lebeis hakneses, go straight to shul. Im ragil likros kor, if the person normally learns psukim, chumash, whatever it is, learn that. If the person learns Mishnah, learn that. Then you daven, say Kriya Shema, you daven, and then that's the proper time to go home and to eat and be with the family. Now that doesn't necessarily fit with everyone's schedules. That may not be the mitzvah. Somebody may get out really late and the kids have to see him and whatever it may be. But the concept here is to make sure we get in that learning. Now, on this, the Mishnah Berurah says we see a good time to learn is before Maariv. Between Mincha and Maariv, many shuls have learning. So if somebody would go to shul that has Mincha and then Maariv afterward, and there's a 5, 10, 15 minute shir between them, if that's your kfius, that's a wonderful thing. That is counted as the night learning. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. That's learning before Maariv. That's a good time based on this Gemara to fulfill the night time of Kovei Itim Latorah. And then he adds something that's very important. This is in the Biur Halacha or Achayim Siman Kufnun Hey. Ubavonaseinu Harabim, in our sins nowadays, Kama Anashim Arafim Yedeim Mina Torah Lagamri. There's some people that don't learn at all. The Einam Choshishim Likvoa Afiluzman Muat Bayom Latorah, and they don't even have a set time. 10 minutes a day. They do nothing. It's because they don't understand the great obligation that we have to be learning on a daily basis. Because otherwise they would not be ignoring this daily responsibility and obligation. And then he continues and says, somebody who doesn't inspire himself, motivate himself to be learning on a daily basis, bevada yishayer reikam mikol chashashom, he will be left empty from everything. Umayan eliyom adin, what will he answer on the day of judgment when he is asked, "Were you koveya itim l'Torah?" Very powerful words from the Biur Halacha. Yeah. It should be at a fixed time. It should be at a fixed time every day. And we'll talk about now what should be learned. Okay, so we've gone through so far when to learn, ideally morning, also the nighttime. And now we are going to talk about what should be learned. What should somebody learn when they're bikoveya itim l'Torah? So the Mishnah Berurah says as follows. Siman kuf nun hei, sif katam gim, obale batim sheinam lomdim, a balabais, somebody who works, who's only learning, what's his example of somebody who's a balabais that's only learning X amount of time?
6 hours.
So we'll see that opinion shortly. He's only learning 3 to 4 hours a day. Shainam lonely rat gimel adalat shas bayom. He says, interestingly, what should you learn? Lo yilmedu begemora lachud. You should not only learn Gemara. That is not enough. You are not fulfilling what you should be if you are only learning Gemara. You have to learn also Halacha. Mishnah Berurah is saying Gemara is important, but we need to carve out time to learn Halacha. Why? Because we need to know what to do. We need to know how to act. Both in business and at home, and Chagim and Shabbos, and all these issues come up, we need to know what to do. And then he continues, okay, if you're not going to be a 3 to 4 hour a day balabas, ukishalomed rak ma'at, but if you're able to just learn a little, it doesn't say what that means, nachon she'ikar limudo yeh b'halachos, our ikar limud, our main thing that we learn should be halacha. Okay, so that's the Mishnah Berurah saying there are two tiers. Somebody's getting 3 to 4 hours a day, Gemara primarily, but also Halacha. But somebody who's only able to learn a little bit, half hour a day, for example, learn Halacha. And then in Siman Aleph, from Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah says you have to learn Musar also. You have to learn Musar also. Musar and Halacha are the basics that are necessary. Now, why Musar? Why is Musar necessary?
You should find more time, right?
Ah, so there's a famous story that Akiva says. There's a famous story of Yisrael Salanter that somebody came to him and said, I only have an hour to learn each day. What should I focus on? And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter told him, you should be learning Musar. Why Musar? Because you'll figure out fairly quickly that you have more than 1 hour a day to be learning. So the Kafachaim also, he says as follows, Mishem Alpanai Rak Ma'at, somebody who has only a little bit of time, Yikvatsma Bahalachas Umusar. The key is to learn Halacha and Musar. Okay, so let's continue here. So far, we have gone through the location to be learning, the Beis Medrash. Have a set place in the Beis Medrash, when to be learning, morning, before work. What to be learning, Halacha and Musar, also Gemara. Also, we'll talk about in the future, whatever you enjoy learning. That's really important. If you're not enjoying it, you probably won't do it. Now we're going to talk about how long each day, I'll take questions a little bit, how long each day should we be learning for? What do you think is realistic?
Depends what you do.
Meister.
Work-wise, right? What is that?
Meister of the day.
Meister to 10% of your day? Do you include sleep time or not sleep time?
I don't know.
Okay, so it depends what you do, work-wise, your job.
Stage in life.
Stage in life with kids?
Kids, family, single.
Very good. Single, you have more or less time? Much more time to be learning. Let me tell you, when you're single, learn, guys. Okay. So, the Shulchan Aruch brings an example. This is written about 500 years ago. The Shulchan Aruch brings an example of how much time somebody who's working should dedicate to working versus learning. Keitza. Hayabalu Monos. Somebody who works. The Osek b'malacho gimel shas b'yom, and he's working 3 hours a day. His learning should be 9 hours a day. Realistic nowadays?
No.
Next, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, 300 years later, the Baal HaTanya says, "Kamo chetzi hayom lefachot, at least half the day, milvad limur alayla, in addition to the learning you do at night, v'lo yasak b'malacho kol hayom aruba, and somebody should not be involved in working the whole day or even the majority of the day. The majority of the day should be learning." Realistic for most people? Not really, unfortunately, but no, not really. So let's go to the next level. The Kaf HaChaim. We're going forward another 100 years. We see Yeridas HaDoros here. The Shulchan Aruch, 9 hours a day. And then we get half of the day, and now we're down to, says the Kaf HaChaim, Im Afshar, if you can, Yesh Likboa Gimel Shas Retzufim Belimut. 3 hours straight of learning. Why straight? What's he focusing on there? Quality. Don't take the cell phone. This is written before cell phones. But it has to be, your head has to be in the game. The Maharsha in the 1500s, 1600s says, an hour, sha'achas kavua. Now, he may not mean literally an hour, a set time amount. The Karen Ora says a day in the morning, a day in the nighttime. Bottom line, guys, we're all over the board here, is the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says something that we need to keep in mind. V'chein li'inyan Talmud Torah, ha'inyan chein. What's the issue? How much time to put in? Ki akol taloi, everything depends. Lifnei Hashem Yisparach, when a Kodesh Baruch Hu is looking at us, what does he look at? Imose kol asher bekol cholasos. Are you doing the maximum you can, given your situation, given the needs of your children? You have a special ed kid that needs more time. Different children need more of our time than others. Boys need more, probably, than girls do. Girls also need. Our jobs take up a lot of time. Wives, etc. These are all times that we have to spend, and we will talk in the future about juggling all those things, but the Mishnah Berurah is telling us, given your situation, your lot in life, your time in life, your cycle in life, are you really trying to maximize your time in learning? And that's a critical thing. It's interesting, some people sometimes try to do too little, sometimes people try to do too much. Both are dangerous. Saying I'm going to learn 5 hours a day. There's a phrase, tafasta meruba lo tafasta. If you try to do too much, you're not going to do anything. I once had a student come to me. He was entering his second year of medical school in Granada. Medical school, anyone familiar? Fairly, fairly intense. So he came to me on his iPad with his schedule, and we went through, and he says, these are my classes, these are my labs. And we went through, and he said, this is when I kadam and shachar. So we went, and we found the proper times for him to be koveya eating the Torah. And Baruch Hashem, it worked for him until he got to finals. Then he had a bit of a breakdown. But for the most part, it was successful for him. Okay. We've gone through location. Location is where? Beis Medrash. When to learn? Ideally, early morning, before the emails and calls start coming in. Also at night. What to be learning? What do we say?
Musar Halacha.
We need to do Musar Halacha Gemara also, meaning the majority may be Gemara, but we can't forget Musar and Halacha. How long to learn? It's subjective based on somebody's requirements and needs. Sometimes things do come up. emergencies come up. This was a question before, 29 out of 30 days. I'll give you an example of this. When I started working in 1995, the first week of work was training. I was looking forward to a 9-to-5 easy schedule. Great. I come, first day, great. No one approaches me about doing work. Second day I come in, the head of HR hands me a printed out email from the head of the real estate department. Welcome aboard. We're heading out to London on Sunday to work on the repurchase of Canary Wharf out of bankruptcy. And I said, this is only my second day. I'm supposed to have a free week. And the thought that comes to mind, can I tell him, I'm not interested in going because I have a chavrusa. I'm koveiti la Torah. If you can get me back and forth so I'm here for my chavrusa at 6 till 7 a.m. every day, I can do it. Otherwise, I'm sorry, I'm unable to participate in working on this deal. That would not go over very well. Other examples. Finals in law school, finals in med school, whatever it is, and you have a kvius of 3 hours a day. Can't make it. Not realistic. The LSAT or the MCAT, the GRE, is right during your chavrusa. Can you not take that exam? So obviously the answer to all of the above is you go to London, you take the exam. So there's a Gemara in Menachos, Tzadi Tes on the base, that says as follows. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mirshim Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Afilo lo kara adam ela kriyat shema shachris va'arbis kiyam lo yamush. Even if you just said kriyat shema in the morning and the night, you have fulfilled your learning on a daily basis, morning and nighttime. Now, the Marsha says, obviously, you have to, when you're saying the kriyat shema, you have to not only have in mind that I'm saying the kriyat shema, you have to have in mind also that this is fulfilling my obligation to learn. And the Ramah brings this halacha that b'shas hadchak, if this is the 30th day and something really urgent came up, you could squeeze by not having your full Seder, your whole 3 hours a day or 1 hour a day, an hour and a half a day, but get by with the Kriya Shema. Now, some of the poskim don't like this. Some of the poskim say, that's not learning, saying the Kriya Shema. You have to be able to acquire some knowledge of Torah. You need to know what to do. That is not sufficient. So solution number two, which is obviously a better solution, the Magen Avraham says, if you are in a bind on one of those days, your wife goes into labor, right during your chavrusa, you get going. You don't say, sorry, hold on. If you have to do something urgent, you should, at a minimum, learn a pasuk or one halacha. So you are at least learning something. Not the Kriyat Shema, it should be something more, but at least something on those. But it shouldn't be that it's 29 out of 30 days, you're getting by with the halach and the pasuk, and the one day you're really having your Seder. It has to be the opposite. I'll take the questions afterwards, because we're running out of time. And last solution, somebody who's always incredibly busy. Those were like one-off times. Okay, something comes up. But somebody's very busy, but he wants to have the schar of learning. This is a whole subject we're going to talk about in the near future. A shutfus Yisachar Zvul and partnering up and supporting somebody who is learning, and the supporter, the person who is working, gets the schar as if he is learning. So we are going to delay that to the future. Our next question is, what happens if something urgent came up and you were not able to learn? You couldn't do it. Meaning, even if you did the halacha, you did the pasuk, but you made a commitment that I'm going to do this many psukim a day, I'm going to do a daf a day, but you weren't able to. I'm going to do this many prakim of this a day. I'm going to do 5 mishnayos a day. And just, it didn't happen. The big emergency came up. The Gemara in Irvin is instructive for us. It says, Rav Acha bar Yaakov Yazif Ufarav. Rav Acha bar Yaakov would borrow and pay back. Rashi says what that means is he had a set amount that he had to learn each day. This many psukim, this many prakim, etc. And what he would do when things came up for his parnasa, his job, his day job, he wasn't able to finish the material that he committed to learn, he would pay back that very night. He would make up for what he missed during the day. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch, Paskins, and the Mishnah Berurah, that if you miss it, if you miss your commitment, yashlimenu belaila miyad, you should make it back that very night immediately, because this is a neder. We've made a commitment to learn a certain amount. Don't go to sleep until that has been done. I had a chavrusa when I was in undergrad, and we were doing daf yomi. And we were doing daf yomi primarily Erevin. Erevin is one of the hardest mesechtas. So we set an hour a day to get together, and inevitably, we didn't finish. And then we'd have to get back together at night, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night at the Beis Medrash and the Hillel, and continue. And there were times that went on for another hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, and my chavrusa was very strong, and he said, we don't leave until we finish the daf, period. I cut out a couple nights, but tomorrow, you're not supposed to do that. He was right, I was wrong, you can borrow the time, pay it back that night. There are some poskim, the Meiri, not poskim, the Meiri says he's a Peirush, he says that you can make it up the next day, the next week, but the Shulchan Aruch poskims that it should be that very night. There's a Pisrei Tshuva that says that what you need to learn, whatever you missed, you learn that first. Don't go on to the new material. Why not? Because if you go on to the new material, you're never going to get back to what you skipped. I was learning Daf Yomi a number of years ago, and I skipped 2 Daf in Nedarim and 20 Daf in Nida, and I never got back to it. And I don't even know what Dapim it is now. So that is not a good idea. Make it up first and then go on to new material. Another interesting point, the Birkei Yosef says that somebody who is a dayan, somebody who is a judge, if he is not paid for acting on a beis din, that will count as his being koveya eating the Torah, as long as he's not getting paid. Same thing applies for a Rebbe, a teacher. If the person is getting paid, it doesn't count as koveya eating the Torah. If the person is not getting paid, it does count. And then the Birkei Yosef, he says that in the name of an ancestor, of his grandfather. And then he says, I think the same thing may be somebody who's in yeshiva or kolel. If they are getting paid, that would not be counted as kovei eating la Torah, and they would have to add on from their own unpaid time, because the concept of kovei eating is showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have faith in you that this is not going to decrease the amount of money that I am earning. So it has to come from our unpaid time that we would be adding on. So then he says, maybe that's true, maybe not, but the Ma'is of the Kaf HaChaim says that anyone who gets paid for their learning should add on additional times to be koveya itim l'Torah. I want to add off with a few more points, a couple important messages. We'll talk about it again in the future about juggling life. But as we've seen from this, that being koveya itim l'Torah is not something that should easily be gotten rid of. It should not be gotten rid of at all, because when we go up on Me'a V'Esri, we need to have a good response that I was indeed koveya eating the Torah. A couple important lessons. When I was in college my first year, I was learning based on time. So I had a chavrusa and we'd be koveya an hour of time. The problem with being koveya based on time is if you come 5 minutes late, or you have a test that you leave 5 minutes early, or if your head is not in the game, but the clock is up, you're out of there. So the second year that I was in university, we changed it around and we did it based on material. Daf Yomi is based on material. So whether if the hour is up or not, it doesn't matter, you have to finish. And the message from that is not to do it based on time only, but the greater of the time or the material. So if you finish earlier, keep on learning for that hour. Typically you don't finish earlier, do it based on the material, because even if you came late, you're going to have to finish that daf or that amud or whatever it may be. So that was lesson number one. Lesson number two, I mentioned my schedule, an hour in the morning when I was working and a halacha or two in the evening. At night, wasn't the evening anymore, it was at night time when I moved out to Los Angeles, and it still was an insane job, but it was a little bit more sane than New York. You see that your job has a major impact on your ability to learn. So as I changed jobs, the first job I was able to add on a chavrusa in the morning, halacha, and a daf yomi at night. And then I changed the job again, and then I was able to have an iyun seder a couple of times a week, and et cetera, et cetera. So that's an important calculus when you're choosing a job. Your ability to learn is a critical decision. Also, we just had somebody in London that emailed me who learned here in yeshiva, and he said, I'm deciding between a very pressured job and less pressured, and I consulted with Rabbi Wiener, and Rabbi Wiener said, take the less pressured job in this situation for sure. It will enable him to have more time to learn, and indeed, that's what the student did, and he was very happy with that decision. Okay, just one last point. We mentioned before that this is one of the questions that we are asked when we go up to heaven, where you kovei eating the Torah. There's a mashal from the Dubna Magid who says, as follows, tells the following story. There was once an archer that was an incredibly successful archer. wherever he go, wherever he was, it was bullseye, bullseye, bullseye. So one time a prince came into the town, and he looks all over, and he sees there are bullseyes all over, with the arrow right in the middle, and then the target right around, and this archer would sign his name on each and every one. Now this prince was very interested in learning archery, so he says, I got to find this guy, he's got to teach me his trick, because he's 100% successful. So he inquired, and they said, oh, it's the little Jewish guy, that's a little scrawny Jewish guy, he's the person that signed all of his names. So he went to speak to the guy, Yitzhak we'll call him. He says, Yitzhak, you got to tell me. He couldn't pronounce Yitzhak, so he said, Yitzhak, can you tell me what's your success in being able to hit the bullseye every single time? He says, what I do is, it's very simple, it's not difficult at all. I put the arrow there first, and then I draw the target around the arrow. And Lemaisa, the message for us is we know what the arrow is. The arrow is the questions that we're going to be asked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's for us to draw our lives around, just like the target. We need to draw our lives and form our lives around the questions that we will be asked to ensure that we have proper responses. Number one, Kavati Itim LaTorah, or Nasata V'Natata Memuna, and then Kovi Itim LaTorah, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that the first thing that we are judged on is our learning through our lifetime. Okay, guys, have a great week.
Thank you very much, Rabbi.